Lighthouse Ministries, where we encourage you to let your light shine. Love God, love yourself, and love one another.
Okay, our message today is an attitude. Our attitudes are very important. And sometimes we think we may not have a bad attitude, but we need to take a closer look at ourselves, at our lives. For example, we go to the grocery store, we pick up our few groceries, and then we come to the checkout and we see a long lineup. And what do? We start murmuring, we start complaining. Look at the lineup here. Why don't they have more cashiers on? You get so annoyed. Or you go to the bank and you know there is another long lineup. My goodness, I'm going to be late for work. I'm going to be late for the hairdresser or my doctor's appointment or getting my nails done or whatever it is we're going to be late for. We murmur, we complain all the time, you know, about, Jesus, they're charging me so much service charge and I have to wait in this long lineup. Look at the money they charge me every month. I look at my statement. Look how much in service charge. And they make me line up this long. They have so much money and they can't have an extra teller out on their busy times. So we complain and we complain. And what do when we're complaining and murmuring all the time? We upset ourselves. For example, we're going to work. And the traffic is heavy, and then somebody jump in front of us or cut us off. And what do we say? We call them names. We swear at them. We say whatever comes, you know. We're so annoyed with them. Some of us want us to speed up and race with them. You know, the silly things we do. And what do, we get ourselves all worked up. We get ourselves upset. We upset others. We go to work and we start complaining about the traffic. You should have seen the traffic this morning. Oh, I was in the bank. You should have seen that lineup. And we go on and on about it. So what are we doing? We upset the other people around. And you know, when we keep doing that constantly, we can get sick from it emotionally and physically from that. We may not think so. But it does affect us tremendously. I can guarantee you, brothers and sisters, if you go on murmuring, complaining, have this bad attitude, what are you doing? You're opening the doors for the enemy to come right in and disrupt your whole day and ruin your whole day. Because if you go to work, start murmuring, complaining about everything, what are you doing? You just ruin your whole day. The enemy comes to what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. He will steal your joy. He will steal your peace. Not only that, you know, brothers and sisters, we bring the people closest to us, we bring them down also when we complain. You may bring your spouse down. Even before you go to work, you're down and you bring them down as well. Also, with a bad attitude, we may not have many friends. When we have a bad attitude, people don't want to be around us. They don't want to be around us. They don't want your company. They try to avoid you. It could be very destructive if you have a bad attitude, whether in your workplace or anywhere else. Sometimes you wonder, why was I passed up for that promotion? I have as much qualification as Joe that got the job. I have more experience than Joe. So why was I passed up for that promotion? It could be your attitude. That's why we were passed up for it. So we need to pay close attention to our attitude. We may not think we have a bad attitude, but we need to look closer at ourselves. See how we're responding and hear how we're responding to other people. They talk to you, and how do you respond to them? You have to be careful with your words that coming out of your mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we have to be careful of how we speak. And even though that person may speak rudely to you and upset you, or wanting to upset you, you don't have to respond in kind. You don't have to come back to their level. You speak nicely regardless, because you don't want the enemy to steal your peace and your joy. Okay? Nobody wants to listen to a whiner or complaining all the time, least of all our Heavenly Father. It is the wilderness mentality, and we need to get out of the wilderness if we are going to enjoy the fullness of this Christian life. If you have your Bibles, you would turn with me to Numbers 13, 1 to 3. We have a lot of reading today, and we'll read verses 17 to verses 33. Okay, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. And we start from verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin, as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. And watch this here. They carried it between two of them on a pole. That's how one cluster of grapes was big, that two people had to carry it. That's how rich and fertile the land was. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land, and told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to come against the people. They are stronger than us, and they give the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature.' There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation and said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And the congregation said to stone them with stones. Don't miss the attitude here. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? Do you know what it's like to feel rejected? How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Amen. Brethren, as you know, the brothers and sisters in Israel, the children of Israel, were crying out to the Lord for help. They were slaves to the Egyptian. They were treated badly. They were beaten, sometimes beaten to death. The Egyptians were very cruel to them. So what happened? They cried out to the Lord. Then the Lord heard their prayers. And so God did some miraculous things for them by painting the doorposts with blood. The angel of death bypassed those doors, and then they were able to flee to Egypt. But look at this here. God taught, I want you to see God in this, and how our God is so merciful and so gracious to us. Look what he did to the hearts of the Egyptians. He turned their hearts around from hatred into giving his people favor through the Egyptians, said, take my gold. They start to hand out their gold jewelry, valuables that they have. They start to hand out to the Israelites. Why? Because God did something in their hearts to turn them around. God also parted the Red Sea so they were able to cross over to make their way to the promised land, to the land flowing with milk and honey. Again, look at his graciousness. By night, he provided fire for heat for his people. By day, he provided a cloud over them so their enemies would not see them, protection from their enemies. They were not allowed to carry clothes that would hinder their journey. And look what God did. He made their clothes so durable, their shoes so durable, that they didn't tear, their clothes didn't tear, their shoes didn't fall apart. God made it so durable for them that it was lasting for that trip. So here they are now at the edge of the land flowing with milk and honey. And God said, you're not going to enter it. God said, this gracious, loving God says, you're not going to enter the promised land. Here they were finally ready to step into all their blessings. God says, no. In fact, he tells them that they must go back in the desert and stay there until everyone over the age of 20 dies. Why would this merciful God do such a thing? God is slow to anger. God never gets angry unless it's a good reason. So this must be a very important lesson here that God wants to teach us. Why would God kill off a whole generation of his people? Numbers of we have just read records the expedition of 12 spies chosen from each tribe of Israel. They were sent by Moses and by God into the promised land. And why did they go? Because first of God, they didn't believe God to give them the promised land. They wanted to go and find out for themselves, to spy out the land. So God in his graciousness and his mercy agreed for them to do that. And they chose 12 of them from each tribe of Israel to go and spy out the land. And there they found a very fertile land, the land flowing with milk and honey, nice rolling hills, grass rich and green, the bunch of grapes. They had to have two people to fetch it. One bunch of grapes so heavy, two people had to fetch it. It's amazing, isn't it? They saw all that, brothers and sisters, and they came back. Out of 12 of them, 10 of them said they put so much fear in the people and said there are giants there. And we're like grasshoppers to those giants. They doubted the word of God. Don't think that God could give them the victory. They murmured. They complained. They brought the whole congregation down. All the people. They brought them down. From the murmuring, the complaining, the critical, judgmental attitude. They didn't trust the Lord that he would give them victory over the Canaanites and wanted to find out for themselves. Two spies, brothers and sisters, two out of the 12, came back with a good report. Joshua and Caleb came back with the report full of faith and confidence. They believed in their God. They said, God promised us this land and we're going to have it. If God says something, he's going to do it. If God is for us, who can be against us? Is anything too hard for our God? You see, when you believe, brothers and sisters, all things are possible. All things are possible to those who believe. Caleb and Joshua believed the word of God and then said, God said it, God will do it. That land would be ours. So don't miss the attitude now. What did the 10 say? Along with the congregation, what did they say? Stone them. Let us stone them with stones. Don't miss the attitude here. They discounted God as nothing, who did all these signs and wonders and miracles to bring them thus far, and they had absolutely no faith in God, just the wrong, critical, judgmental, just a bad attitude. Their reaction was to stone Caleb and Joshua. The Lord told the rebellious people, your children, however, whom you said would become a prey, I will bring them into the promised land, and they will know the land which you have rejected. God was saying, you said I couldn't take care of them. You feared they're going to die. Here is the deal. They're not going to die, but you are. Then he added, your corpse will fall in this wilderness, and they will suffer. Your children will suffer because of your unfaithfulness, because of your bad attitude, because of your complaining. Your children will suffer. What an awful picture. How long would the people wander outside the promised land? According to the number of days which they spied out the land. 40 days. So they wandered 40 years, 1 year for every day. Every faithless day, every grumbling, complaining, critical attitude day, the Lord says, for every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 days, and you will know my opposition. Brethren, God was sending a serious message to those people And he's sending that same message to us today. He was saying, in effect, I want you to know how I feel about your grumbling, how I feel about your complaining, your whining, your mumbling, your critical, judgmental attitude. He said, I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this I will do. But you say God is a God of grace and compassion and loving kindness. What pushed him to such extremes? There was no sexual immorality mentioned, no alcohol, no drugs, no divorce, no idolatry, no abuses, or any other serious offense for God to react this way. It was simply their bad attitude. You see, God will not tolerate our rebellious behavior. At every turn, he provided for them. If you choose this kind of behavior, you will spend your life in the wilderness too. You won't receive God's blessing. You're blocking God's blessings when you behave this way. God doesn't change what he does about murmuring and complaining, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. God judges this kind of behavior, and we decide to live like the Israelites did, then God will treat us like he treated them. God doesn't trust us into physical wilderness anymore, but he does cause our lives to become like a wilderness, a desert, dry place. Bad attitudes are what make a life a dry, hard, joyless, parched experience. Do you ever feel like that? Like your life is lacking the kind of joy and fulfillment that you desire? That you are missing the kind of abundant life that God's word promises? If we hear the word and implement it in our lives, we would be much happier. How do we approach a problem that could make all the difference in every walk in life, in relationships with coworkers, your boss, your spouse, and your sibling, your children? We need to pay heed to God's words and be obedient to it. Wrong attitudes, our attitudes are patterns of thinking formed over a long period of time. That attitude perhaps formed when we were children, because that's what we heard. We heard a lot of murmuring and complaining and a bad attitude, anger and resentment and bitterness. We hear all those things as children. And so we form that pattern of behavior even from childhood. Wrong attitudes are hard to change because they are habitual, harmful ways of thinking about life and circumstances. Patterns of thinking are so deeply ingrained in our hearts that we hardly even notice them. And sometimes we think we are reacting the right way. But we're not. We can choose to react negatively, or we can choose to react positively. We control our thoughts. You know, brethren, to change your attitude, it doesn't happen overnight. You have to reprogram your thinking and remain sensitive to what God is teaching you. Lasting joy and true promised land living are not far away. Do you know that whole generation died out just at the edge of the promised land? Just a few miles from the land flowing with milk and honey. And it was all because of their attitude. Out of the 12 spies that went out to spy the land, 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, chose God and faith and a good attitude, and they entered into the promised land. 10 spies chose to doubt and complain, and they got the wilderness. When we complain, we are choosing a response that does us more harm than good. Our complaints may lead to anger, bitterness, resentment, and even depression. God loves you. He does not want you hurting yourself. What hurts you hurts him. In addition to that, we hurt the people around us. So let us look at some truths about attitudes. Our attitudes reveal the true person. In Matthew 15:18, Jesus said, The things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Your attitude reveals the person you truly are. You can behave normal on the outside with everybody else, but inside you're a mess. God looks at the heart because the heart is where the true person resides. The goal is not a makeover, but a real heart transformation. We have to change from within. We have to look at ourselves from within, from our heart, and start changing. We need to work on our attitudes. God takes a strong position on bad attitudes because attitudes predict the future. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a person thinks in his heart, so is he." Attitudes are patterns of thinking formed over a period of time. You can't think in a negative, critical, complaining, fault-finding way without becoming that kind of person. In a deeper, more spiritual and internal way, you are what you think. We need to heed the warnings of the scriptures in Numbers chapter 11 to 16 and begin with God's help to change your attitude. So how do we identify the problem? First thing you need to do, to be honest with yourself, or even ask a friend to be honest with you. Denying you have a bad attitude prevents you from experiencing true victory and hope. Secondly, take responsibility for your behavior. No matter how large or small it may seem, admit that it exists and you're responsible for its continued presence. Thirdly, trace the behavior to the source. Ask God to help you remember when you were programmed to feel or act in a certain way. Low self-esteem could cause it. Feelings of rejection, feelings of abandonment or helplessness, all these are beginning points. And this behavior leads to other habits that weaken our self-concept. Fourthly, forgive yourself and forgive others, those who have hurt you. So quite often, it is the hurt you feel that causes you to react with a bad attitude. When people speak evil about you and wrong things about you, you would want to react with a bad attitude. We complain because we have been hurt, and there is nothing wrong to share your pain with someone. So I don't want you to get me wrong. There's nothing wrong to share your pain with someone. But what I'm saying, don't let it become a habit of constantly complaining. And forgiveness does not mean the person who hurt you can walk away without being punished. Forgiveness is something you do for yourself so you can experience the freedom from bitterness, from resentment, from anger, from hurt and pain. Harboring angry feelings can lead to physical and emotional health problems. God tells us vengeance belongs to Him. So we need to cast our cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Fifthly, renew your mind with the truth of God's word. When you do this, you will discover that God loves you more than you can imagine. You will also receive needed strength and hope. Brethren, Jesus is the answer. He is the only answer. If you are not turning to Him and walking intimately and personally with Him, you will never escape the wilderness. Even if you're a Christian, but trying to do it by yourself, it wouldn't work. Resolutions like, I'm going to try to be more thankful. I'm going to try to be more loving at work. It doesn't work. And sometimes we say, Lord, why can't people change? Look at her attitude. Look at his attitude. Why can't they change? But we need to look at our own selves and change your own attitude. God would handle those people. You take care. You know the word. You take care of yourself. You change. When you change, you'll be amazed to see how they change. When you react to a person in love, you'll be amazed to see how they would start turn around and start acting in love as well. God didn't choose them, brothers and sisters. He chose each and every one of you here. You have Christ within you. You have the resurrection power within you. Now we have to start using it. You must see the transformation in your life. When you can reach out in love, when you can respond in love and in kindness, sooner or later, they're going to change. And they start to respond in love and kindness. One day they will turn around and thank you. Because of you, sister, my life is changed. Because of you, brother, my life is changed. And that's what we want. You are children of the Most High God. You need to set the examples for others. Jesus set the example for all of you. Now you need to set the example for those, whether it's in your workplace, your home, or family gatherings, wherever you are. You need to let the light shine forth from each one of you. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. And finally, a personal, intimate, daily walk with Jesus is the only thing that can fuel the fire of your spiritual victory. If you don't have it, you won't experience it. Looking to Jesus is the only way to come to God, and looking to Jesus is the only way to walk with God. He alone can lead us out of the wilderness of our own murmuring attitudes and lead us into the joy and fullness of God's abiding presence. Amen.